Welcome back to Car Time Stories. In this episode, we'll explore Lord of the Flies by William Golding. Picture this: a global war, a plane crash, a deserted island, a struggle for power, and an unraveling of the delicate threads of civilization before our very eyes. As the surviving boys grapple with the clash between democracy and dictatorship, their journey becomes a mirror reflecting the darker aspects of humanity. It's a story of survival, primal instincts, and the unsettling realization of what lies beneath the veneer of civility and the dark underbelly of human nature. Which leads me to what is considered the most memorable quote: maybe there is a beast, maybe it's only us. So buckle up for another Car Time Story special as we dive deep into the complexities of Lord of the Flies, summarizing and analyzing this thought-provoking tale in less than 30 minutes.
Lord of the Flies by William Golding. On an unnamed island beneath an azure sky and surrounded by the tumultuous sea, the vestiges of human civilization lie shattered. Once soaring through the heavens, an airplane fuselage now rests fragmented upon the sandy shore, a solemn testimony to the abrupt disruption of a journey to the unknown. In the aftermath of chaos, a disparate group of boys, scattered like the debris of their fallen vessel, emerge from the wreckage to confront the harsh reality of isolation. Ralph, a fair-haired lad with an aura of natural leadership, arises amidst the disarray. A conch, discovered by chance, becomes the vessel through which authority is to be established. Symbolic and majestic, the conch embodies order in this newfound realm. Piggy, a corpulent and asthmatic companion to Ralph, aids him in summoning the other survivors to a meeting. As the boys assemble, the conch is raised, its melodic resonance signaling the initiation of an attempt to forge a society from the remnants of their forsaken world. The gathering reveals the heterogeneous nature of the survivors, a microcosm of the societal mosaic they once knew. Tethered to rationality, the pragmatic Piggy endeavors to instill a sense of order in the unruly assembly. Ralph, though hesitant, accepts the mantle of leadership thrust upon him by the symbolic conch. Together, they deliberate on the need for organization, establishing a signal fire and the allure of rescue. The conch, passed from speaker to speaker, becomes a talisman of authority, ensuring that only its possessor may address the assembly. The delineation of roles emerges as essential for survival. Jack, leader of a choir boy contingent, seeks to assert dominance through his militaristic inclinations. The island's bounty beckons him, a tempting realm of exploration and adventure. The concept of a beast lurking in the shadows casts a pall over the boy's collective psyche, a primordial fear that will gradually insinuate itself into their collective consciousness. As they embark on the journey to kindle the signal fire, hope flickers in the hearts of the boys. The fire, a beacon of deliverance, symbolizes their link to the outside world, a connection to the realms they once called home. The mountain summit becomes the altar where their aspirations are laid bare, and the flames dance with fervor, sending forth a spiraling column of smoke into the heavens. Yet even in this embryonic stage of their isolation, cracks in the facade of unity begin to appear. Unbridled in intensity, the fire consumes the island's resources with an unchecked voracity. The order, so delicately established, wavers under the weight of primal instincts and unspoken tensions. The fragility of civilization becomes palpable, a transient illusion in the face of the untamed wilderness. Thus, Act One unfurls with the boys grappling with the external challenges of survival and the internal struggle for dominance and identity. The conch, held aloft in the hands of authority, becomes both a unifying force and a fragile vessel threatened by the encroaching chaos. The island, a pristine canvas upon which the boys project their hopes and fears, bears witness to the intricate dance between civilization and savagery, a dance that will grow ever more intricate and perilous in the following acts. In the sprawling tapestry of the island, Act Two unravels as a crescendo of discord and primal yearnings. The camaraderie once shared beneath the banner of the conch fractures, giving birth to a schism that echoes through the dense foliage. Jack, spurred by an insatiable desire for dominion, challenges the delicate equilibrium established under Ralph's tenuous leadership. The cadence of descent quickens as Jack assembles a faction, a motley band of hunters adorned with daubs of war paint. Once united in song, his choir boys now metamorphose into a tribe bound by the visceral pursuit of prey. The forest, once a realm of mystery, now becomes an arena for the manifestation of primal instincts. Spears fashioned from sharpened branches, wielded with a fervor born of newfound savagery, punctuate the air as the hunters plunge into the thicket in pursuit of sustenance. Tensions escalate within the microcosm of the island. The dichotomy between order and chaos, symbolized by Ralph's leadership and Jack's primal yearning, becomes increasingly pronounced. Fear, like a shadow, looms large over the boys as the concept of an enigmatic beast takes root in their collective consciousness. The once harmonious coexistence with nature fractures, replaced by a palpable unease that courses through the verdant landscape. Once the emblem of hope, the signal fire now wavers in significance. Neglected in the fervor of the hunt, it flickers with a dwindling flame, a metaphor for the waning connection to the outside world. The smoke, once a herald of potential rescue, now curls lazily into the sky, dissipating like the remnants of a fleeting dream. The boys, ensnared in the seduction of the hunt, become oblivious to the waning embers of their salvation. As Ralph and Jack's rift deepens, the leadership-style dichotomy becomes starkly evident. Ralph, clinging to the vestiges of civilization, emphasizes the need for the signal fire and the hope of rescue. Jack, however, revels in the primal ecstasy of the hunt, captivated by the intoxicating allure of the untamed wilderness. Once an unassailable symbol of authority, the conch begins to lose its luster as the boy's allegiance falters. Amidst the encroaching darkness, a nocturnal assembly takes shape. The frenzied dance of the hunters, now adorned with grotesque masks, is illuminated by the flickering light of a makeshift torch. The line between human and beast blurs in this macabre celebration, a manifestation of the burgeoning savagery within each boy. The forest, witness to their descent into primal urges, echoes with the haunting chant of the hunters, a chilling reminder of the fragility of the veneer of civilization. Act two concludes with the island teetering on the precipice of an inexorable descent. The emergence of power struggles, the palpable tension of fear and the unknown, and the shifting symbolism of the fire collectively weave a narrative that foreshadows the impending clash between civilization and savagery. As the boys grapple with their inner demons and the allure of the untamed, the stage is set for a harrowing exploration of the human psyche in the acts that lie ahead. In the unforgiving crucible of Act Three, the tendrils of savagery tighten their grip on the island, ensnaring the boys in a dance of despair and descending shadows. The frail scaffold of civilization, erected with fragile resolve, now buckles under the weight of fear and the burgeoning dominance of primal instincts. Once held by the threadbare strands of Ralph's leadership, the semblance of order unravels as the boys, entangled in the tendrils of apprehension, struggle to maintain the fragile vestiges of their once cherished civilization. The signal fire, a flickering beacon of dwindling hope, becomes a mere wisp in the gusts of uncertainty. Neglected in the shadow of the growing beast within, its embers glow faintly, a fading echo of the aspirations that once burned brightly. As the boys grapple with the enigma of the mythical beast, a sinister force lurking in their collective imagination, the island transforms into a cauldron of terror. Shadows, once mere companions in the embrace of twilight, morph into monstrous phantoms that dance with malevolent glee. The primal fear, an ancient specter awakened by the isolation and the unknown, festers like a malignant wound. Once a symbol of unity, the conch fractures under the duress of mounting discord. Jack, seizing the opportunity presented by the disintegration of authority, intensifies his pursuit of dominance. The hunters, now a feral horde, revel in the hunt with an abandon that transcends the boundaries of humanity. The once cohesive society splinters into factions, and the ties that bound them unravel like the tendrils of a fraying rope. Simon embarks on a solitary journey in the forest's heart, where the trees whisper secrets and the shadows dance in a macabre ballet. His encounter with the Lord of the Flies, a severed pig's head mounted on a stake, unravels the fabric of his sanity. In the grotesque visage of this decaying effigy, the darkness within each boy coalesces into a tangible manifestation. The Lord of the Flies, a harbinger of the primal savagery lurking in the recesses of the human psyche, whispers malevolent truths into Simon's soul. In the hallowed presence of the grotesque deity, Simon grapples with the revelation that the actual beast resides not in the external shadows, but within the very core of their being. Now a theatre of dissent, the island bears witness to Simon's agonizing realization, a prelude to the inexorable plunge into the abyss that awaits them all. The chorus of the forest, a cacophony of unseen creatures and spectral whispers, heralds the impending darkness. The descent into savagery is consummated in a frenzied dance, a bacchanalian celebration devoid of reason or restraint. The island, transformed into a nocturnal theater of chaos, echoes with the primal drumbeat of frenetic footsteps and haunting chants. The boundaries between the boys and the untamed wilderness blur, and the haunting specter of the mythical beast becomes a grotesque accomplice in their descent. As Act 3 draws to a close, the island stands shrouded in a palpable gloom. The boys, ensnared in the clutches of fear and primal instincts, teeter on the precipice of a moral abyss. The Lord of the Flies, its malevolent laughter echoing in the recesses of the night, casts a sinister shadow over the impending acts, a grim harbinger of the darkness that will continue to unfold in the twisted narrative of Lord of the Flies. In the heart of the island's labyrinthine darkness, Act 4 unfurls as a tragic symphony, the dissonant notes of chaos echoing through the dense foliage. The tension, an ever-tightening noose, constricts the fragile semblance of order as Ralph's group and Jack's faction collide in a cataclysm of conflicting desires and unrestrained savagery. The island, now a fractured stage for the unfolding tragedy, bears witness to the escalating conflict between the two factions. Ralph, clinging tenaciously to the remnants of civilization, grapples with the insatiable hunger for power emanating from Jack. Once a symbol of unity and authority, the conch is rendered impotent as the rift between the boys widens, a metaphorical crevasse that threatens to engulf them all. The fertile ground that once cradled the hopes of rescue becomes tainted with the stain of violence. Like a spectral wraith, tragedy lurks in the shadows as the boys succumb to their savage nature. The hunt, once a primal instinct for sustenance, transforms into a frenzied ritual, an unbridled celebration of bloodlust that paints the verdant canvas of the island with dark hues of malevolence. Violence, an infectious contagion, spreads through the ranks of the boys. The once honorable intentions of the hunt degenerate into a malevolent dance, a savage ballet that mirrors the unraveling morality of the island's inhabitants. The boundaries between right and wrong blur, and the primal instincts, now untethered, assert their dominance over reason and compassion. Amidst the chaos, the signal fire, once a symbol of hope and a lifeline to the outside world, languishes in neglect. Flickering feebly in the growing shadows, the flames symbolize the dwindling chance of rescue. Once pulsating with the fervor of aspirations, the island now stands as a somber testament to the consequences of unchecked savagery. The smoke, an ethereal whisper ascending to the heavens, remains unnoticed by the outside world, a desperate plea stifled by the cacophony of internal discord. The clash between Ralph's group and Jack's faction culminates in tragedy, a stark reminder of the fragility of civilization in the face of unchecked brutality. The shattered and discarded conch becomes a poignant metaphor for the demise of order. The boys, now bereft of the guiding principles that once tethered them to humanity, hurtle into the abyss with abandon. Now a theater of unbridled chaos, the island bears witness to the descent into darkness. The spectral shadows of the forest, the haunting echoes of the primal drumbeat, and the malevolent laughter of the mythical beast converge in a macabre crescendo. The boundary between the boys and the untamed wilderness dissolves, and the island seems to recoil from the weight of the savagery that permeates its very soil. As Act 4 draws to a close, the island stands scarred by the indelible marks of tragedy. The boys, ensnared in the clutches of their own primal nature, face the consequences of their descent into chaos. The signal fire, a mere flicker in the encroaching darkness, symbolizes the waning hope of rescue and the diminishing spark of humanity within each boy. The stage is set for the harrowing denouement, where the true cost of their unchecked savagery will be laid bare in the unforgiving landscape of the island. In the waning echoes of chaos, Act 5 unfolds with the abrupt arrival of a naval officer, a figure from the outside world that ruptures the cocoon of savagery enveloping the island. The cacophony of conflict halts momentarily as the officer, an emblem of authority and civilization, materializes amidst the tumultuous backdrop of untamed wilderness. The boys, momentarily silenced by the intrusion of the outside world, confront the repercussions of their descent into savagery. The spectacle of painted faces and frenetic dances, now stripped of context, appears as a grotesque pantomime to the unfamiliar eyes of the naval officer. The contrast between the pristine uniform of authority and the disheveled countenance of the boys accentuates the jarring clash between the ordered world they once knew and the pandemonium they now inhabit. As the veneer of civilization is abruptly reasserted by the officer, the boys, caught in a moment of transient clarity, reflect on the precipice from which they narrowly recoiled. The remnants of Ralph's group, once fervently clinging to the flickering flame of hope, now gaze upon the interloper with a mixture of relief and trepidation. The darkness within each boy, laid bare by their descent into savagery, casts a long shadow over their collective consciousness. The conch, a shattered relic of authority, lies forgotten amidst the debris. Its once resounding call for order and unity echoes faintly in the recesses of the boys' memories. The island, now stripped of the veneer of chaos, stands as a testament to the fragility of civilization. Once a lifeline to the outside world, the signal fire smolders in the aftermath of neglect, a poignant reminder of opportunities lost in the ephemeral nature of hope. The officer, oblivious to the intricate web of conflicts that transpired in the island's heart, extends a hand of rescue to the boys. The magnitude of their ordeal, the descent into savagery, and the loss of innocence remain concealed beneath their disheveled appearance. The reality of their actions, starkly juxtaposed against the officer's stoic demeanor, evokes a sense of disquiet, an unspoken acknowledgement of the darkness within the human soul. The boys, now faced with the prospect of reintegration into a world that has seemingly remained untouched by their ordeal, grapple with the weight of their experiences. The island, a crucible that tested the boundaries of civilization, leaves an indelible mark on their collective psyche. The haunting specter of the mythical beast, now revealed to be the darkness within themselves, becomes an enduring motif that lingers in the recesses of their memories. The novel concludes with a sense of bleak realization about human nature. In the dimming light of the island, the boys confront the harsh truth that the darkness within is an inherent facet of their existence. The thin veneer of civilization, quickly shattered by the primal urges that surge beneath, becomes a tenuous illusion. The officer, a fleeting symbol of external order, unwittingly becomes a mirror reflecting the stark contrast between the veneer of civilization and the untamed wilderness lurking beneath. As the boys embark on the journey back to the known world, the island remains a silent witness to the unraveling of innocence. The echoes of their feral dances, the haunting laughter of the Lord of the Flies, and the remnants of shattered conch shells fade into the obscurity of memory. The novel's denouement, draped in an unyielding pall of realization, resonates with a somber truth. The darkness within, once unleashed, leaves an indelible scar on the tapestry of human nature. And now for a final analysis. In the enigmatic tapestry of Lord of the Flies, William Golding weaves a tale of primal conflict, human nature laid bare, and the fragile veneer of civilization. At its core, the novel explores the clash between Ralph and Jack, two emblematic figures embodying diametrically opposed philosophies, peaceful democracy and violent dictatorship. The struggle for leadership becomes a microcosm of the broader human condition, a canvas where the darker impulses within each soul are brought to the forefront. Ralph, the fair-haired embodiment of reason, respect for law and duty, assumes the mantle of leadership after discovering the conch. Piggy, his asthmatic and rational companion, aids him in summoning the survivors. Jack, the assertive leader of the choir boys, initially begrudgingly accepts Ralph's leadership, establishing a delicate balance between order and the burgeoning chaos. The conch symbolizes authority and becomes the beacon of order in their newfound society. As the plot unfolds, the rivalry between Ralph and Jack intensifies, evolving into a struggle that transcends mere leadership. Their conflicting values represent a profound dichotomy. Ralph, the proponent of civilization, reason, and protection of the weak, juxtaposed against Jack, the harbinger of violence, cruelty, and tyranny. The island becomes a crucible where these opposing forces collide, and the fragility of civilization is tested against the backdrop of a global war. The rising action introduces the reader to the evolving roles of the boys within the society they forge. Ralph, focused on the signal fire and the hope of rescue, clashes with Jack's growing penchant for hunting and the allure of primal instincts. The younger boys, haunted by the mythical beast, succumb to their fears, providing fertile ground for Jack's manipulation. The clash between the two leaders reaches a critical point when the boys mistake a parachutist for the beast, further escalating their descent into savagery. The novel's climax is marked by the tragic deaths of Simon and Piggy. The fragile democracy, symbolized by the conch, shatters as Jack's tribe steals Piggy's glasses, rendering Ralph powerless. The devaluing of the conch signifies the breakdown of agreed-upon symbols of democracy, paving the way for Jack's despotic rule. Piggy's death, a brutal act that annihilates reason and democracy, crystallizes Jack's dominance. The subsequent pursuit of Ralph, the destruction of the signal fire, and the brutal savagery unleashed by Jack's tribe marks the nadir of civilization on the island. The denouement arrives with the intervention of an outside force, the arrival of a naval officer. Civilization, represented by the officer, disrupts the chaos and violence that had consumed the island. The boys, confronted by the consequences of their actions, reflect on the loss of civilization and the darkness within themselves. The novel concludes with a poignant realization about human nature, a bleak acknowledgement that the veneer of civilization is fragile and the forces of violence perpetually threaten its existence. Lord of the Flies stands as a cautionary tale, not just about the specific consequences of nuclear armament, but also as a broader exploration of the inherent darkness within human nature. Golding crafts a narrative that transcends the confines of the island, serving as an allegory for the more perilous actions of humanity beyond its borders. Through the characters of Ralph and Jack, he unveils the fundamental conflict between reason and primal instincts, democracy and tyranny, a conflict that reverberates through the annals of human history. The novel leaves an indelible imprint as the island crumbles and the boys are rescued, scarred by their journey into the depths of savagery. Lord of the Flies becomes a mirror reflecting the unsettling truths about the precarious balance between civilization and the untamed wilderness within each human soul.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Car Time Stories podcast. Before I let you go, I would like to implore you to rate our podcast and write a brief review. Your help would be greatly appreciated. And finally, please visit cartimestories.com to purchase our premium video content. Until next time, we thank you and hope that you tell your friends about the Car Time Stories podcast, where we strive to fuel young minds one story at a time.